My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Tunku Varadarajan, who is at the Wall Street Journal as a contributor and a fellow at the AEI. And we come now to my limited understanding of cricket because we're about to enter into the World Championship to be played on Sunday. However, before and after the World Championship, there is the matter of cricket and politics in India. The very popular, very powerful present Prime Minister, Narendra Modi, is a man who has now permitted or engineered or gone along with, he's a big cricket fan, of his party, the BJP party, which once upon a time was understood as Hindu nationalism. He's agreed that that party is now completely identified with the success and the power of India cricket, which is played not only in the international level, the World Championship, but on the local level. And in fact, there's something called the India League, the India Premier League, that is an obsession. There's also something called the BCCI that administers the authority of cricket in India. The BCCI seems to be the power base. I'm not sure, though. Help me. What is the use of the BCCI to the government of Mr. Modi?
Well, the BCCI stands for the Board of Control for Cricket in India, BCCI. There used to be a dodgy Middle Eastern / Pakistani bank by that name, I believe, Bank of Credit and Commerce International. But the BCCI is the authority that controls cricket in India. It's the governing body for cricket, if you like, for cricket in India. It is one of the world's richest sporting bodies, certainly the world's richest cricket governing body. And it basically runs world cricket. You know, its revenues and its clout dwarf those of any other cricket board in any other country. And the one that comes closest to it is the board that controls cricket in England, which was once the real powerhouse of world cricket, going back to the imperial days, but which now kowtows to the BCCI like every other cricket board. Now, the relationship between the BJP and the BCCI is an interesting one. Logically, the BJP should be anti-cricket because, the BJP is anti anything that smacks of colonialism and that betrays an inauthenticity as far as India is concerned, as far as Indian culture is concerned. You know, it's against the English language. It's against such things as Valentine's Day and Christmas and various other things that it believes are polluting of Indian culture. But cricket, in spite of the fact that it was invented in England and given to us by the British, is something that they've embraced because they've realized that it is the one true all-India religion in the country and that there is much to be gained politically and culturally by embracing this game, especially with the Indian cricket team on the ascendant and maybe about to show itself to be the best in the world. And so you have India's ruling political party glumming onto India's triumphant cricket team in the hopes that this will give the party a serious political boost. And let's not forget that the finals that are taking place on Sunday are taking place in a stadium that's called the Narendra Modi Stadium, which was built recently. It's the world's largest cricket stadium. It seats 100,000 people. And it's taking place, you know, it's the only ground in the world which has been named after a living, serving prime minister. Americans, I think, should take an interest in this stadium because there was an occasion which you'll tell me about, John. You remind me of what happened.
Yes. Donald Trump's visit to India to Mr. Modi was also to visit this stadium, which once was named for an Indian nationalist of great repute, Mr. Pital, but is now renamed for Mr. Modi. And when Donald Trump was there, I believe he enjoyed the attention of 100,000 people who'd been bussed in specially.
Yes, it was the largest crowd I think Donald Trump's ever addressed. I don't think they really understood what he was saying because most of them would have been Gujarati speakers. But they were enthusiastic in their embrace and their cheering of the American visitor. And Modi was there lapping it all up. And it was a grand spectacle. I would commend to your readers that they go onto YouTube at some point, just enter Trump, Modi, and Ahmedabad. And actually look at what Trump said. Trump made quite a hilarious speech. His speechwriters wrote a speech that was intended to be flattering to his Indian audience, and it was a charming speech in its own way. But Trump managed to mangle or mispronounce pretty much every Indian word in the speech, so it was actually very funny. The whole thing was it's worth watching, but it encapsulated the theme that we're talking about, which is the twinning of politics and cricket, because Modi's finest moment as prime minister, hosting the world's most powerful man, took place at the stadium designed to showcase the world's most powerful cricket team.
Ramachandra Guha, who has written this piece for the Financial Times, makes a presentation that is striking to me because of the way identity politics is working in Europe and America. He indicates that there is a keen sense that a Muslim player, because India has, I believe, 200 million Muslims in addition to the Hindus that dominate the country, that a Muslim player must be better or have a place or emphasize some skill set, and it's quite judged harshly compared to a Hindu player. Do you agree with that, Chanku?
It's an interesting point, and I'm a little less of a kind of pessimist on this point than Ramachandra Guha is. It is undoubtedly true that if a Muslim player messes up in a game, drops a catch, say, or bowls badly or bats badly, there will be sections of Indian society, particularly online, on social media, you know, the trolls who subscribe to Hindu nationalist or Hindu chauvinist views, who will come out of the woodwork and abuse the player for letting the team down and attribute the bad performance to the fact that he's a Muslim playing for India and therefore his heart must not be in it. But I want to emphasize that there are two Muslim players on India's team out of 11, which is roughly proportionate to the number of Muslims in the population at large. But who's counting? Cricket is the one, I would venture to say, is the one space in India, or the one institution, and I would like to call cricket in India as an institution, which has been unscathed, I think, by the present-day religious partisanship and divisions that scar India. Muslim players are not excluded from the team on grounds of religion. If a Muslim player is good enough to play for India, he is picked in the team. The two Muslim players on the Indian 11 right now are wildly popular and have performed very well at the World Cup. And so cricket is the one space in India which is truly meritocratic. India is not by nature a meritocratic nation. It's nepotistic, it's partisan, it's corrupt, it's inclined to favor, it's full of people inclined to favor their own kind, not just of their own religion, but of their own caste or their own region or their own subcaste or their own sub-region. But cricket is the one area in India which is almost entirely meritocratic. And so as a result, you have these two wonderful Muslim bowlers who play for India, and they're widely embraced. But as I said, if they mess up in a game, there are people who come out and say, oh, these bloody Muslims, they're not playing for India because they're not doing their best because they're Muslim. But on the whole, the Indian cricket fan is blind to a player's religion.
Virat Kohli, we need to mention either the Babe Ruth or the hero of the Indian cricket team. Is he playing on Sunday, and is he the captain of the team?
He is playing on Sunday. He is the world's best batsman. He's not the captain. He used to be the captain. The captain now is a man called Rohit Sharma, who is a terrific batsman in his own right, and is almost as good as Virat Kohli in his current form. But Virat Kohli is widely regarded as one of the greatest batsmen of all time. He's the fittest cricketer in India. He's a fitness fanatic. He used to be a chubby young man, a chubby teenager. If you look at some of his pictures from the early 2000s, you see a sort of chubby, cheeky, slightly rotund-faced boy, who was bratty and brash, and in the view of many people, as somewhat uncouth as in a gentleman's game. But he's now, you know, honed himself into fitness. He's one of the game's great ambassadors. He's passionate.
Right.
He's a great player, and you know he's the one Indian cricketer who is respected in every other cricket playing country. I mean, he's a national treasure, people say.
Tunku Varadarajan. The game is cricket. Sunday, November 19th, the World Cup, Australia versus India. I'm John Bennett.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor